Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. The coldest team in town now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. If you would like more information, go to the website, GogginCole.com. We'll be with you until 6:45 when we turn things over to Ensworth High Football. Ensworth tonight hosting CPA, 6:45 for the pregame. And the kickoff right around 7, Jonathan Schaefer, Greg Pogue, Dan Bradley, all on the call. Of course, Jay Henson at halftime with scoreboard updates. And then after the game, a complete look at all the action, key games around the land as far as Nashville and Middle Tennessee is concerned. A quick update in the game involving two ACC teams, which is not a conference game, by the way, just an extra game. Wake Forest leading North Carolina 21-0, 12:01 remaining before halftime. Right now, chance to talk week two of the NFL. It got started last night. Well, sort of. Is that another preseason game? Alan Bell now with CBS Sportsline joining us. Alan, look, we saw this, I don't know if we want to go as far as saying half the games last week, but a great proportion of them, where is a carryover effect from preseason, and last night was not really any better.
No, it wasn't. And I appreciate you having me back, man. Yeah, it just wasn't pretty offensively, you know. I thought Jameis, did okay compared to, kind of what we thought. But, really, you look at the Carolina Panthers and you look at their offense, and it's just not there. There's something wrong with Cam. It might be his shoulder. It might be his foot. Might be a combination of all of that. But, one thing that I do know is that towards the end of the game, when you need 1 yard, I love Christian McCaffrey. But if your quarterback's 6'6" and a half and he can't get you that yard, half of a yard, you got a big problem, and we saw it last night.
Yeah, you don't even have to get in the end zone. You just got to pick up that, and then you got a new set of downs. And, yeah, whatever that play call was, there's – and, look, you can't, run away from that other stat, the fact now Cam Newton 0-8 in his last 8 starts.
Yeah, he is. And the Panthers are, 1-9, in their last 10 games. I mean, obviously, he was injured last year, and we see the result of where that team is. And now that you have to kind of worry a little bit, with them being 0-2 and, what we talked about this offseason in terms of a new owner in David Tepper, who really doesn't waste any time really on anything. And not saying that Ron Rivera is coaching for his job, but Ron Rivera might be coaching for his job later this year.
Oh, by the way, some interesting games as far as the AFC South. First, the non-Tennessee Titans one, the Houston Texans. Emotionally, you're talking about a team that just felt like they did everything they needed to do and beat a crowd like that. I mean, to go on the road and be in a position to knock off the Saints in the Superdome, and that's what they had accomplished until they didn't, as the Saints with a 58-yard field goal as time expires. But I think that for the Houston, if this game had been scheduled for Jacksonville this week, I would look at this contest a lot differently. But the fact that Houston is going to get a major bump from their fans, they're 8.5-point favorites, and the fact that Jaguars have just struggled mightily on the road in AFC South games over, when you think about, last 5-plus years, 2-14 in their last 16 road contests, and I know you alluded to that as well. And the other part of that is it's one thing when you're not expected to play and then you're inserted in the lineup, you don't really have the butterflies like Gardner Minshew was forced into action after Nick Foles goes down. But now you have all week. You're the guy now, at least for another week or two until Josh Dobbs, picks up the playbook and has a chance to beat you out. This game screams Houston all over it.
Yeah, it does. I'm with you on that totally. And, you're right. Like, for Minshew, the quarterback, with Jacksonville, it's one thing, when you're, on the sideline having some Gatorade with the headset on trying to help, Nick Foles out there. And then you see him go down with a broken clavicle, and the coach goes over and is like, hey, kid, you're in the game now. You really don't have time to think about it. But then, after that, you do. You've got all week to think about it. Not only that, the coach is putting, more on you in terms of the playbook. The entire team is looking at you. He probably doesn't know half the guys that are on that team, in terms of full names and where they're from, things like that. Plus, you've got family and friends that are hitting you up for tickets. They want to come see your first start. I mean, it's a lot, man. There's a whole lot going on with that. And then, couple in with exactly what you said, going on the road against the team. Yeah, I mean, Houston had New Orleans beat. That's a brutal loss for them. So we'll see what goes on. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if you're getting 8.5 points in the league, like that's, you're a huge, huge favorite. You know, and we'll see. We'll see with the, you know, in terms of covering. But yeah, I mean, this should be a game that Houston wins. You know, pretty easily. No win is easy in the NFL, but this one shouldn't be too terribly close.
Am I misreading this? The fact that the Eagles on the road and they're also a 2-point favorite in Atlanta Sunday night. And I understand Atlanta looked awful against Minnesota, but Atlanta was one of those teams that I thought did not prepare themselves enough with those preseason games as well. I just don't see Atlanta, especially a team that's looking to, you know, compete in the NFC South. I just don't see them losing this game against the Eagles Sunday night.
Yeah, I know. Like, are we looking at that Falcons game, you know, week one against, you know, Minnesota and thinking that, you know, Atlanta's pretty bad? Because I'll be honest, Minnesota's pretty good. Like, they're a good football team. They're going to be competing, you know, for a playoff spot, you know, here in about 15 weeks. But, yeah, I mean, we'll find out, you know, and what we just talked about in terms of Carolina, Atlanta's in the same boat because they've got a head coach in Dan Quinn who is absolutely fighting for his job. And if Atlanta can't figure it out now, I mean, if you go up and down that roster, you know, I'm not somebody that looks at paper. I like to see what, you know, what guys do on the field. But there might not be a team in the NFL that has a better, you know, roster from 1 to 53 than Atlanta. I mean, it teams would kill to have an MVP quarterback in Matt Ryan and have Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Devontae Freeman to keep going, right? So, I mean, they've got to figure this thing out. Now, I could be wrong in this, and I don't know if you have the numbers in front of you or not. I think we have a lot of road favorites this week. I think there are like 6 or 7. They might not all, you know, they might not all be, you know, like the Eagles and Falcons.
Well,
you know,
the Chargers yeah, are favored by 2 on the road at Detroit. You also have, let's see, the other team. Well, we mentioned Philadelphia being the 2-point favorite against Atlanta. Buffalo, a 1.5-point favorite at the New York Giants, and then you have Chicago, a 2.5-point favorite at Denver, just to name a few.
Yeah, and I think where's that Browns Jets game? Is that in New York?
Yeah, that game, and that's, you know, entirely different situation. The
sure,
Browns,
sure.
They were a 2-point favorite on Monday night. Now they're 6.5-point favorite against the Jets, where no Sam Darnold, out indefinitely with the mono, and insert Trevor Siemian. So
and you're right. Like, you're right. Like, that doesn't belong, you know, in that same category. And tough break for your Jets, man. Like, you go from, you know, having 4 or 5 turnovers on the Bills in the first half in week one to losing that game. Now your quarterback's out. He's being quarantined in his apartment. We don't know what's going on with Le'Veon Bell's shoulder. It's just brutal, man. I hate it for you.
Hey, by the way, Kansas City, you know, they had a road game at Jacksonville, and now they've got to go all the way across the country to take on the Raiders. And I understand the Chiefs and what they do on offense. But, you know, to me, this Oakland Raiders team, look, they don't care if you believe in them or if I believe them or whatever the case may be. They believe in themselves. Josh Jacobs is the real deal as far as at running back. And look, I think this team can do enough things to keep this game interesting as far as a one-score game. That's why I actually like Oakland +7, mainly, too, the fact that most of the public love Kansas City in this situation.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. Anytime that, no offense to anybody listening, but you can fade the public, you do so, and it's a high number like that. And especially it being a division game, right? Like, that's a classic, you know, hatred-type game. And if you look, you know, historically, those games end up closer, you know, than blowouts. So I'm with you, you know. And I think that, you know, being juiced up to start a year, especially after a big win like the Raiders had, you know, that there's a finite amount, you know, that you can run on that. And then eventually, you know, you have to fill up the gas tank, so to say, you know, with more players. And I hated to see them lose Jonathan Abram, their star rookie safety. But they're a good team, man. They're young. And I think if they can keep a good attitude, you know, and kind of rally around the point that Antonio Brown is not there, you know, we'll see what they can do. Because, you know, again, man, you know, upsets aren't really upsets in the NFL. Like, anybody can go out and get beat, you know, really at any time. You got 53 professionals out there, so should be fun, man. Like, I think it's good. I think Big Two's gonna be great.
How many times when a team is heavy favorites, like the Patriots, find themselves, you know, 19-point favorites on the road against the Dolphins? And look, it seemed quite obvious that the Dolphins were tanking last week against Baltimore. My assumption is, look, they're still in the NFL, and I don't think they're going to be allowed to get away with it against the Patriots. I think they can run the ball and have enough success where basically you have to wait around the fourth quarter, not for the outcome of the game, are whether or not your team is on the right side as far as covering or not covering in this game. That's why I like the Dolphins. Once again, it's another game where the public love the Patriots. I mean, they figure that if the Patriots can win by 30 points against Pittsburgh, then certainly they can do the same thing against a very bad Dolphins team that lost 59-10. But I think the other part of it, too, you got some players on that Dolphins team that are also playing to attract the attention of other teams that might be willing to make trades with the Dolphins. So that's why I think the Dolphins can keep this close enough where I like the 19 in Miami on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, there's just so many points, you know, in the NFL. And, I mean, touchdowns and scores happen. You know, so, I mean, that's just so much to cover. It's interesting, yeah, that you bring up, you know, that the Dolphins have star players that are kind of, you know, showing out like it's, you know, week 17 and they're about to be free agents, except it's week two and we just started the year. You know what I mean? It's just funny. They get an odd situation going on in Miami. But, yeah, I mean, 19.5 points is just so many. And then, you know, what's the stat? I think the Patriots have lost 5 of the 6, you know, their last games, I think, in Miami. Something like that, something very odd. And not that the Patriots are going to lose by any means, but right. I'm with you. Yeah, like, if you're going to give me 19 points in the NFL, I'm going to take that 10 out of 10 times because I'm probably going to win that 8 out of 10 times.
Well, it's also the same reason, like, you look at this Cowboys contest at Washington, and this is a game that Dallas certainly wants to take control of the NFC East, so this looks like, this is just free money right there as they're on the road. They have to give the 6 to Washington, right? And I just think that Washington, I mean, remember, too, Adrian Peterson, you know, he still has some miles left in those tires, and because of the injury to Darius Geis, Adrian Peterson will be dressed and playing on Sunday against the Cowboys. I'm not saying Washington will win this, but I think they can keep it within 3 or 4.
Yeah, I definitely do, especially with such a big win that Dallas had in week one. And it's odd, yeah, you know, if you're Adrian Peterson, you go from inactive in week one to the starter in week two. It's just crazy. Hate that for Darius Geis, man. He's a good kid. I like him a lot. He's going to be a star in this league. I just hate to see, you know, now we're looking at 2 knee injuries, you know, and I don't know if it's the same knee or the opposite knee. And shoot, I'm not a doctor, so don't listen to my medical
opinion. And you don't play play one on TV either, do you?
No. All right. No. People know I'm way too dumb for that. But, yeah, I mean, you just hate to see that. Yeah, I mean, you know, look at Washington, what they did against Philly. Like, I mean, you know, they were, what, 9.5 point dogs. They were up by 20 at one point. Then they were down by, you know, 15. Just craziness. We'll see. You know, Washington's just going to have a tough time offensively. They might have some problems scoring. But as long as that Alabama defensive line that they have out there is rolling. Yeah, I mean, they can keep a score low. It might be a good underplay.
Starts with Jonathan Allen. You got nose tackle Payne as well. So, yeah, you might be onto something. How about this fun game?
You can hire Nick Saban on Sundays.
Yeah, there you go. He's got some free time on Sunday afternoons, maybe. This is a rematch of the NFC Championship game. The Saints were on the short end, and, you know, you can blame officiating all you want, a bad call, whatever the case may be. The Saints still had opportunities to win that game, and they didn't get it done last year against the Rams. This one is being played in Los Angeles. Emotional win on Monday night for Monday Night Football, and then the Saints have to go to the West Coast. Am I just misreading this? Everybody just assumes the Saints are going to find a way to get this job done on Sunday against the Rams. I'm not quite seeing that. I know that sometimes because you can mentally have any kind of little games that you want to play to get yourself up for a game, to give you an edge or whatever. To me, that it might work against the Saints in this game. I think it's going to be a close game, but I just like the Rams in this contest.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you, and I think this, you know, I think we kind of all know who the Saints are, you know, in a given sense. I think this is a good, you know, kind of test of who are the Rams, right? You know, are the Rams the same team that they were last year, you know, or are they who kind of everyone in the media thinks is going to fall off from, you know, a 11, 12 win team to say a 9 win team. And not that answer is going to be, you know, laid out for us in week two. You know, it takes a long time, you know, throughout the year to truly understand who a team is. But yeah, I think we're just going to be educated a little bit more on what this Rams team, specifically the offense. I want to see Todd Gurley. We still don't know. And it's starting to get to the point where, you know, I don't know when this guy's ever going to be back, like in a full Todd Gurley type mode. So we'll see. I'm with you. It should be a great game between those two teams for sure.
Having a chance to visit with Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Another matchup are the Packers. They certainly, when you think about statements that they sent as far as week one, the Green Bay Packers certainly did on that Thursday night, a game against the Chicago Bears, and being able to display their defense. They probably, if you're a fan of the Packers, would love to see more of their offense on display. They're going to need it this Sunday as they host the Minnesota Vikings. I'm not going to take away from the nice win by Minnesota over Atlanta, but I also will say that Minnesota was certainly helped by the lack of looking like the season had begun for the Atlanta Falcons, per se. I like Green Bay. I think this will be a tight game, but I like the Packers at home against the Vikings on Sunday.
Wow, that'd be a big win, and I'm not against you. You know, like we just talked about the previous game, you know, we're going to find out a little bit more about both of these guys. And, you know, give the Packers credit. I mean, you start week one, you beat the Chicago Bears, you took down, you know, a team in the division. You've got a chance to do it again. You know, these one-game wins are essentially like two wins. And give Matt LaFleur credit. He was the only rookie head coach in the NFL that won in week one. I know Cliff Kingsbury tied, but every other rookie coach with that particular team lost. And if he could start out 2-0 by taking down specifically the two teams in the division that they're going to be fighting with, and you can go ahead and get that leg up, it's huge, not only for the schedule and the standings, but just from a confidence perspective of everybody else, you know, Aaron Rodgers included. You know, there's everybody that, you know, believes that they can do it. But once you start doing it, you just feel so much better. So I'm with you. We're going to have a lot of good divisional games. I like that they start getting these early, and then we get them, you know, week 16 and week 17 as well. The NFL's nailed it in terms of the schedule on that part.
I remember the very first question I asked of Coach Mike Vrabel as he was being introduced as head coach of the Titans. And my question to him was, everybody talks about the quote-unquote Patriots way. When can the Titans have a quote-unquote Titans way? And it's all about winning. It's all about winning championships. It's all about winning big games. Well, I go back to last year, you know, a playoff spot on the line when the Colts came to town on December 30th. And I understand no Marcus Mariota. The Titans lose that game, so Ant failed that test. You go back to 2017. Through the first 12 games, you're talking about 8-4, controlling the AFC South, laid two major eggs. You still make the playoffs, but you're, instead of hosting a playoff game, you're on the road. You do beat Kansas City with a comeback in the second half and then get blasted by the Patriots. You go back to 2016. Once again, a team in control of their own destiny as far as the AFC South was concerned, have the lead. You're taking on a very bad Jacksonville team as far as the day before Christmas, and you don't show up. Whatever reason, the players talked to me about it, you know, after the season, and just said, you know, looked around, and for whatever reason, we just weren't up. We were flat. We weren't up. And it's like, you know, and they understood what was at stake. I bring it up because on Sunday, if the Titans can beat the Colts, they will be two games ahead of the Colts in the AFC South and up two games through the first 2 weeks on the team that loses in that contest between Houston and Jacksonville. I bring it up because every test in recent years, the Titans have had a chance to, you know, take control of certain things as far as that's in their control. They've failed those tests. This is a tight game. They're favored by 3 against Indianapolis. You know, they may find a way emotionally because of the fact that Steve McNair's, the late Steve McNair, his jersey being retired along with Eddie George's jersey. But if they do win, I think it's going to be like by 1 or 2, 28-27, something along those lines. But, I, you know, until you beat Indianapolis, I understand no Andrew Luck. No Andrew Luck 2 years ago, and the Titans swept that season series. But you got to stop the tight ends. You got to stop Marlon Mack running the ball. And you got to be able to stop that pass rush, because last week Colts put a lot of pressure on Phillip Rivers and the Chargers.
No, you're right. And, you know, everybody talks about, like, you know, a Patriot way, or, like, being great, like, you know, how do teams do it? You know what they do? They show up and win these games. Like, that's what they do. Like, they just win these games when they have to do it. We saw, you know, Sunday night, you know, the Patriots, you know, playing against the Steelers. And did anyone have any question what was going to happen? And the Steelers are a pretty good team, right? But it's like, you don't have any question about that the Patriots are going to hammer the Steelers. Like, they're going to take them down because that's what they do. And the Titans have that opportunity right in front of them. And let me say this, you know, in terms of going from good to great, first off, what you have to do is you have to win to give yourself that opportunity. Check. They did that. Two, you have to understand and realize when you have an opportunity like that in front of you, because you don't have that every week, and they've got it right here. It's exactly it. And I hope Mike Vrabel, and I bet that he is that he's not, kind of avoiding the topic, you know, so it doesn't get talked about. No, we're talking about it every single day. Like, this is exactly the team that we have to beat. Forget everybody else. This is the team that we have to take down, and I want you to understand it, breathe it, live it, understand all of it. So this team had better come out and be fired up, because if they don't, just wipe it off. Wipe it off the board, because it doesn't matter what they do the rest of the year. You know it's going to come down to a Colts-type game, and they're not going to get it done. So this is exactly how you go from good to great, and I can't wait to see what they do with it Sunday.
Well, and the other part, too, I mean, if you have a franchise quarterback, a true franchise quarterback, you have to be able to string together games like what Marcus Mariota did last week, 248 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. And, oh, by the way, it was great that Corey Davis blocking downfield throughout, as far as with Derrick Henry's 75-yard touchdown with the on the screenplay. But the bottom line is, if you're a number one receiver, you can't go 0 for the week as far as catching passes.
No. I mean, everybody's got to be on board, ready to go. And there might be plays where you've got your receiver blocking downfield. I mean, guys do that, you know. But they've got to be in sync, and they've got to have their receivers going. AJ Brown's got to be ready. Delaney's got to be ready. They've got to be ready on the offensive line. You're probably going to see, you know, a fullback type, tight end chip, you know, type situation. And Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis have got to be ready. We saw Derrick Henry last week. We saw Derrick Henry the last 4 to 5 weeks of the 2018 season. You know who needs to step up is Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis talked about all offseason about how he was ready, and he hated what happened last year, and he knows he's better than that. Well, you know what? These are the type of games you do it, and he came from the New England Patriots, man. Like, this is where you show it. So, again, I know I'm getting fired up, but this is a game to be fired up about, and I hope fans are fired up, because these opportunities, you know, not every game is the same in the NFL. This one means a little bit more, and it should, because that means that you've got something to play for.
Well, the other part, too, the Colts are not going to be committing 18 penalties for 182 yards like the Browns did last week.
No, they're not. They're not going to have any left tackles get ejected. Like, you're going to have to earn every bit of it. You know what I mean? But that's good. Like, this is going to be a good check of where this team is, where the attitude is. And let me say this. You know, we talked about, you know, the negativity in terms of losing your star, you know, left tackle and Taylor Lewan. Well, guess what? You win this game, you start 2-0, and you go, you know, 3-1, 4-0, you know, while he's gone, and he comes back fired up. That's a rallying point. Now you turn a negative into a positive. So, I mean, there's so many little factors that go into this, but just point blank, they have to, this is a must-win game. And I know it sounds crazy in week 2, but this is absolutely a must-win game, because it's going to tell you exactly where the spine sits in the backbone of this team.
Before we let you go, we'll look forward to having you again on Monday, recapping week 2 of the NFL and looking ahead to the Monday night affair, which will be the final contest for week 2 as the Browns take on the Jets. But remind everybody about Sportsline.
Yeah, definitely, CBS Sportsline. So, you know, we've got all kinds of things to take you, you know, statistical analysis inside the game. We've got an advanced computer model. We simulate each game 10,000 times. I've done it on the Titans-Colts game. I sit and have an exact score of where it's going to be. Johnny, I sent it over to you by the point, by the spread of how many I think that the Titans are going to win by. Wink, wink. So, check out Sportsline.com. It's something definitely different than what you've seen. And if you're, you know, a big fan that likes to get inside the game, I think you'll really enjoy it.
Hey, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend, Alan. We'll talk Monday.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Thank you. That's Alan Bell once again with CBS Sportsline. If you're not already doing so, you can follow Alan on Twitter at Alan, A-L-L-A-M Bell 24/7. Don't forget 6:45 tonight as Innsworth plays host to CPA. 6:45 for the pregame. The kickoff will be just after 7. Jonathan Schaefer, Greg Pogue, Dan Bradley, all on the call. Jay Henson with halftime scoreboard updates around the area. And after the game, a complete wrap-up of the key games in Nashville and Middle Tennessee. And then after he concludes with that, don't forget we'll join in progress Washington State as they take on Houston. That's all coming up right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. The police are still out here active on this wreck here at Charlotte Ave and 16th Avenue. Also wreck in the 5500 block in Nolensville Pike. It's been busy out here in South Nashville. That wreck at Preston at Pettus Road. It's already still heavy down Nolensville Pike there passing Concord Road. And 40 East here passing the airport headed into Wilson County is very busy. Hey, Around the Neighborhood Oil Change will come to you at home or work, saving you time and money. Call Around the Neighborhood Oil Change, 709-2645. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add Instant and Jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash Play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
It's summer, y'all, and you know the drill. It's time to stay chill and get your fill of all the cool games that you'd like to see. The August Instant Ones from Tennessee. You could scratch a blackjack for just a dollar, win 20 grand on a payday multiplier. Big Orange 8s could take your cash even higher, but not like a $1 million mega multiplier. That's no joke, these are the ones. The August Instant games that are tons of fun. Brand new from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun, just play responsibly.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add Instant and Jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash Play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
It's summer, y'all, and you know the drill. It's time to stay chill and get your fill of all the cool games that you'd like to see. The August Instant Ones from Tennessee. You could scratch a blackjack for just a dollar, win 20 grand on a payday multiplier. Big Orange 8s could take your cash even higher, but not like a $1 million mega multiplier. That's no joke, these are the ones. The August Instant games that are tons of fun. Brand new from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun, just play responsibly.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Prank Show.
And your listeners need to know that the nicest guy at SEC Media Days is Johnny Ballpark Franks.
You've always been so kind.
It's just true. It's easy to tell the truth, Johnny.
Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I'm constantly amazed when I drive in. I often stay at the Omni downtown.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studio. 615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the show. The Braves in action weekend series. They're taking on the Washington Nationals. And this will be the final three games. These two teams see each other this year. No score in the second. The Braves, they have 14 games remaining. Washington, 17 games remaining. The magic number is 8, a combination of Braves wins and Nationals losses. And that means the Braves, for the second straight year, will clinch the National League East. Right before halftime, a game involving two teams from the ACC, although it's a non-conference game, it's one of those extra games outside of conference play. Wake Forest playing host to North Carolina. It's all Wake Forest in the first half, 21-0 as the clock ticks down to halftime. But the Wake Forest leading the Tar Heels. Tar Heels with Mack Brown off to the 2-0 start. Not unless we're talking about a miracle finish in the second half. It looks like he'll suffer his first loss back as a head coach. In the college football ranks. As far as the high school ranks are concerned, Jay, At halftime, you'll have a scoreboard update. Then after the conclusion of Ensworth and CPA, you'll have a recap of Week 4 action, Nashville, Middle Tennessee. Once again, let the listeners know the key games you'll be keeping up with.
Yeah, besides the Ensworth CPA game, talk about the number 2 ranked Beach Buccaneers in Class 5A traveling to Hendersonville, not too far from campus, as those two teams get their rivalry back in action. Hendersonville's gone won their last 2 weeks after they lost 59-0 to top-ranked Oakland, so that'll be a big game. Then you got Gallatin at Mount Juliet. Can Spencer Briggs have another big game? He's got 734 yards of rushing so far this season in 3 games, 9 touchdowns. But they go up against a really good Mount Juliet team who are coming off a big win last week against Lebanon. And we got the Bishop's Cup with Pope John Paul II and Father Ryan going up at Father Ryan up around down in South Nashville.
The other, talking about Gallatin, the fact that in their first 3 wins, they're averaging over 42 points a game. Their margin in each of these first 3 games, 42-7. And you mentioned the outstanding start for Spencer Briggs. I mean, he only needs 200, and I say it because he's already had a 300-yard game. He only needs 266 yards to get over 1,000 yards, and he will have accomplished that in the first 4 weeks of the season.
It's a good possibility he could do it tonight, but it's going to be a tough battle against Mount Juliet.
Stewart's Creek, by the way, they're playing Cambridge tonight. Cambridge 1-2 on the season, but Stewart's Creek 3-0, looking to go 4-0. This is going to be a tight affair between these two teams.
I mean, Cambridge has their quarterback back, and they're going to be able to have a lot of spread, and the QB does a really good job running. Stewart's Creek with their running back, their running game, they do a really good job of containing the clock. So I think it'll be an overall good matchup. I'm probably thinking around a 17-14, 2017 game. But this, it's a real big Region 6, 6A game going on down in Sturge Creek.
Brentwood, by the way, tonight looking to go 4-0. They're at Henry County tonight. Henry County 1-2 on the young season. And you look at this Brentwood team, they have the kind of talent to be able to go on the road and win a game like this. But so far, so good through the first 3 weeks for Brentwood.
Yeah, Brentwood and their QB doing a really good job so far this year, and I feel like they've got a really good squad. I mean, of course, they got to go up against Ravenwood in that district or the region that they play in. But Brentwood going on the road to Henry County, to Paris, Tennessee, to take on the Patriots. Really good 5A squad, so I think it'll be a really good ballgame.
Once again, an update on the Braves and the Nationals, the first of a 3-game series in Washington. Going to the bottom of the second, no score between these two teams. Our Braves coverage, along with SEC coverage, one of our sponsors, include the Klein Preston Law Group here in Nashville. They've got over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group, they've represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee all the way to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, visit their website, Klein with a K, KleinPrestonLaw.com.
Good afternoon. The police are still out here active on this wreck here. Charlotte Ave and 16th Avenue. Also wreck in the 5500 block in Nolensville Pike. It's been busy out here in South Nashville. That wreck at Preston at Pettus Road. It's already still heavy down Nolensville Pike there passing Concord Road. And 40 East here passing the airport headed into Wilson County is very busy. Hey, Around the Neighborhood Oil Change will come to you at home or work, saving you time and money. Call Around the Neighborhood Oil Change, 709-2645. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
In Nashville, there is a car dealer that values the importance of creating a partnership with their clients. At Picasso Auto, they look at you not just as a customer, they see you as a friend. Upgrade your ride now by discovering the wide range of makes and models at Picasso Auto. Each of their cars is hand-selected at auction by the ownership group using years of experience to carefully choose only the best for you. Then the Picasso Auto team meticulously repairs each vehicle like creating a piece of art. After an extensive inspection process, Picasso Auto is then able to sell their vehicle at a lower cost and, in most cases, 10 to 20% under the suggested retail price. Warranties, you ask? They got them. Credit issues? No problem. Come in, have a cup of coffee, and discuss what you're looking for in your next ride at Picasso Auto. 3319 Nolensville Pike, just south of Thompson Lane. Online at PicassoAuto.com. Give them a call at 615-933-1111. Picasso Auto, the art of autos. When it's time for new flooring and hardwood, the choices can be mind-numbing. Who do I call? Who can I trust? Locally, Braza Flooring is a leading expert in floor installation and services and makes the process easy. Braza Flooring offers a wide selection of flooring options and hardwood supplies and will work with you to help you decide which selection works best for you. Once you make a decision, they'll handle the rest. Nobody does hardwood floor installation better than Braza Flooring, and they do it fast without sacrificing quality. Braza Flooring provides the best service at an affordable price. Their passion for flooring and extensive experience means no job is too big, too small, or too difficult. Call 678-826-7798. That's 678-826-7798. Or go online at BrazaFlooring.com and follow them on Instagram. Braza Flooring, where they strive to please and guarantee complete satisfaction.
This football season, your friends at Pickers Vodka are proud to introduce Pickers Unplugged, ready-to-drink canned cocktails, real vodka soda, no strings attached, zero carbs, zero sugar, and only 96 calories. Pickers Unplugged is available in four refreshing flavors, but because it's made with real vodka and not malt liquor, you can only buy it at your local liquor store here in Tennessee. To learn more and to stay plugged in, visit PickersVodka.com or stop by the distillery in the Nations and take a tour.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast. For tonight, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorm early tonight, otherwise partly cloudy, low 72. Tomorrow for Saturday, mostly sunny, high 91. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low 67. A sunny day on Sunday with a high of 92. Utilizing the resources of the Weather Bug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Big thanks to our visitors to the show today. Eric Bacharach, he covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Also, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Once again, if you'd like to learn more about his services, you can call him at 800-400-9741, 800-400-9741. Or to go to the website, ParamountSports.com. By the way, the Big Five that we picked today, Middle Tennessee State getting 6.5 at home against Duke. Lee and myself, we're on Duke giving the points. Alan Bell took MTSU plus the 6.5. As far as Kentucky at home, looking to make it 2 straight against the Florida Gators. When these two teams have matched up, 4 out of the last 5 games that were decided late in the final quarter, I have Kentucky along with Alan Bell plus the 8, thinking that Kentucky can keep this a lot closer, especially with Sawyer Smith there at quarterback. Lee went on the other side with the experience of Felipe Franks, taking the Gators, giving the 8. Tomorrow afternoon, the 2:30 game on CBS, Alabama, 25.5-point favorite on the road, taking on the South Carolina Gamecocks. Last time these two teams met in Columbia, South Carolina, remember, it was the 35-21 win by South Carolina over then number one ranked Alabama. This was an Alabama team, the reigning national champs as well. Lee and Allen both like Alabama giving the points. Something tells me South Carolina will score a meaningless touchdown late, and Bama will win by 21, 23, 24, 25.5 on the road. Seems like just a little bit too much there, especially in that environment in Columbia. And then the two NFL games, all three of us on the same side with Houston, giving Jacksonville the 8.5. Gardner Minshew making his first career start in the NFL. And then finally here in Nashville on Sunday, Alan Bell likes Tennessee, giving the 3, feels like Tennessee will win by 4. I'm taking Indianapolis, so is Lee Sterling, and I'm on the side of Indianapolis, you know, being able to use the points. But something, you know, just because the pure emotions of the game and the way this game plays out on Sunday, the fact that there's the retirement ceremonies at halftime with the late Steve McNair's jersey being retired along with Eddie George. And so for me, it really came down to the fact that I think the Titans can pull out like a 1 or 2 point. But 3 points, I'm going to take the Colts, especially a team that has won 18 out of the last 21 meetings between these two teams. On the way next, Ensworth High football as they play host to CPA. Jonathan Schaefer, Greg Pogue, Dan Bradley, all on the call. At halftime, Jay Henson with a scoreboard update. And then after the game, a complete wrap-up of Week 4, Nashville, Middle Tennessee area games. And after all the conclusion of that broadcast, we'll join In Progress Washington State as they take on Houston in college football. As always, we know you have choices each and every day, and we appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. Join me again tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. to noon with our countdown to kickoff tailgate show. All that right here on Nashville Sports Radio.